then you will not say who show us goodness. You say, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dwell in the house of the Lord, we will not stay here forever, but the house of the Lord in me. I am the house of the Lord. Are you? We are the temple of the Lord. That's why if we think and go through that, we will see the blessing that God gave to us. I like to show you some videos from, some picture to remind you what we did in Egypt. Pastor Hank spoke about them, but also we can see some of what God did in Egypt. Pictures first. Okay. Well, any picture you put, I will explain. This picture. By the way, let me. When I translated the book, Man in God's Image for Pastor Hank. Okay. Okay. When I translated this book, it was like I was with a pastor, and the pastor said, "Oh, Thabit, I have a book. I really don't have time to translate because I'm busy. Can you translate this book for me?" Well, I told him yes, and then I started to translate the book. I translated the book, and I gave it to him. I told him, oh, this is really good teaching. And he said, oh, the pastor, I don't know, as Pastor Hank said, I don't know if this book exists. Always we receive the English books that the people who wrote died. I told him, oh, he will come to ask you to do seminar. Well, I went. And that time even, you know, it was hard to attend the seminars because the reason why I went Sahel Slim, I came from Cyprus, like I was a broadcasting minister in Cyprus to radio program. And then we had to go that, like, you know, I found like, you know, I can do this radio program when I'm in Egypt and I can do ministry in Egypt. Then we went, and the churches that we were in had no school for that. We had to choose Sahel Slim because close to Asyut and we can travel. For that, I had to pick my take my kids to school and then go back to another city and then come afternoon to take them and then visit people, prepare the sermon because like we have meeting every evening. I was very exhausted. At the first day of the seminar, I couldn't make it. The second day I said, oh, because I promised the Pastor Safai I have to go. Then I went, I met Pastor Hank, asked Pastor Safai and Pastor Hank if they can come and have supper with me in my house. Pastor Safa said, I'm busy, you can take him. He told me, feed him and let him to preach in your church. Then he went, he preached, and then, you know, to make the long story short, we started to work together. This one of the villages that Pastor Hank told you about, they are poor people. But this is in the street. We have the meeting in the street. And this is like the closing meeting. The person here, his name is Lucas. He's a lawyer. And he's one of the team that trained. Now he's elder in the church. But he led this meeting. For this village, we went to this village called Tataleya and go to do not house meeting, it was street meetings. And we had people to teach people the lesson, school lessons, and then give them Bible study or tell them about Jesus. We always find a hook to bring people in and then tell them about Jesus. This was the strategy. The second one, please. Yeah. There were many young people in the streets. They don't go to church. And in Egypt, it's easy to tell people to not to go to church. That, oh, don't go to this evangelical church. Coptic and Catholic say, don't go to this evangelical church. It's not a church. Then we started to create something like a sports game. We had a backyard, use the backyard to have like soccer and other game, and bring people to play soccer. But before play soccer, we gather together, pray together, tell them about Jesus. This is one of the team before we go to play. This is the boat that Pastor Hank told. This is the backyard. This is the backyard. The backyard of the church. The government always asks us, like, you can't do any meeting outside of the church. And then we had the tent. We have thousands of people attended this meeting. And the government, when we set up the tent, the government came, the police came and said, you can't do the meeting here. I told him why. He said, because this is not a church. I told him, are you sure this is not a church? He said, yeah. I said, then if I build on it, you will not ask me to bring a license because it's a church? He said, no, you can't build it because it's a church. I told him, okay. To finalize this. If it's a church, then I have a right to put the tent and worship in it. If it's not the church, I can sacrifice the tent and I will build on it tomorrow. Which way you like to go? He didn't give me answer. He just left me and the tent was there and we had the meeting. Every meeting we had, struggles, a story to prevent the meeting. One time, Pastor Hank came with a team, and everybody phoned me on my way to the airport to cancel. We can't have them in our village. We can't have them in our village. Even we had some like training for leaders, and the church told me about it, and they canceled. We did the training in the boat meeting one time because the pastors afraid from the government to have a foreign person in their church. And we can see the boat meeting. This is the boat meeting. The boat meeting actually fit 500. We can't fit 500 because people come more than 500 and be in the boat. And this boat also is two floors. There's one floor and another floor. We do service worship and preaching, and then teaching or counseling, prayer or training for that, because it's from 9 o'clock to 3 p.m. Only we have 1 hour on the island for us to have lunch and the Muslim person to pray. For that, this is about meeting. Okay. This is one of children ministry, and also this is like the story about that. Like when I went to Lazia the first time, and I went to preach, the preaching in Lazia was about that. Like they have the horn on outside of the church, and all the village hears the pastor what the pastor say. For that, the Coptic priest attack Presbyterian pastor, the Presbyterian pastor attack back. And there was like fight every day, and the people was happy. We'll see who's win. And then the first Sunday I went, the priest sent his deacon to see if the new pastor will continue the war and the fight or not. Deacon's brother, he was a member in my church. Maybe you remember Dr. Roddy. And the member of my church, he told me, my brother here today, and he's a deacon in Coptic Orthodox Church, he come to see if you attack a Coptic Orthodox doctrine or not. I said, thank you very much for telling me that. Then I preached on Luke 1, and the title was, Saint Mary, teach me. And what is the lesson to learn from Saint Mary? And I said, when the angel came to tell her, you will have a baby, and she didn't understand the message because she has no husband, she said, how can it be? For that, the first lesson, when God tell me a strange message, I will not refuse, but I will ask for explaining. For that, she's asked for explaining. Second, when she understood, she obeyed. And she said, I'm the servant of the Lord. The third one, she was humble because she put herself among the people that need salvation because she called Jesus my Savior. You know, Coptic Orthodox don't believe that. Coptic Orthodox, like Catholic, Mary doesn't need salvation. But here I put it like this is, oh, she was humble and put herself among the people who need salvation. The fourth one, because she was true saint, when the people came to her in the wedding of Cana and told her, oh, we have no more wine, she led them to Jesus, not led them to herself. The true saint led people to Jesus. The Satan led people to himself. It was very much against Coptic Orthodox, but was different way. And the person, the deacon came and said, oh, this is the best teaching I ever heard about Saint Mary. Thank you very much. Can you come and do Bible study in my house? And this was the first house meeting we had in his house. And he offered his house also to have children when we have it in other house and the children come to his house. What I mean, you can say the truth, but how to say the truth? You can say the truth with the language that the people can understand. And let people think. Because if you say, if you go to like the war and fight, oh, Mary, just a man like you and me, needs salvation like you and me, he will refuse that. I can tell you many stories with that, but I'm just like, I don't like to waste your time. Okay. I hope I don't waste your time. This is, okay, girls in village, don't play soccer, don't play basketball, don't play anything. Then we created one game for the girls for sports meeting. This is like, you know, fill water and one gift to one, and then the one who finish first, then the team is winner. But this is one. We even created some games to involve the girls in the games to minister to them. Okay. Okay, there's one on training, maybe down after the PowerPoint or after the training. Oh, we can take it later, it's okay. Okay. Okay, no problem. Okay, then just give me the other one, the PowerPoint one. Is that okay? Thank you. Okay. There's one before that, or?
Do you want Pathway of Peace?
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's the. This is a ministry now in Canada. Like, this is Pathway of Peace Ministry. This ministry is devoted to helping Muslims and others, not only Muslims, because others mean anyone lost, because we are not only for Muslims, come to know the Lord and equipping Christians to carry out the Great Commission. This is our goal, to help everybody to fulfill the Great Commission. Then, this is the TV, the picture that you just saw. I know the one that you just posted before that, the TV one. Yeah. Yeah. This is a TV program. This is even the topic, necessity of evangelism. The church that you know, United Reformed Church, they are very good in teaching. But reaching out, they grow without reaching out because they grow by birth. You know Dutch people, how they grow with that. For that, they don't need anybody from outside. We were the only people outside of the church. But if you come to the church now, you will find people from Syria, from Lebanon, from Iraq, from everywhere they are in the church, from China. There are four Muslim people came to the Lord and baptized in the church. But we do like that's why I started with necessity of evangelism. Evangelism is not option; it's necessary. From then I have the speaker here. This is, does Bible mention Muhammad? Muslims say, oh, the Bible prophesied about Muhammad, and Jesus said, Muhammad, there is a prophet who will come after me. His name is Ahmed. Then we discussed that this person, his name, Tony Costa, he's a professor in a Baptist Seminary in Toronto. He's a really good person. He knows Islam. This is the pastor of the church. He's not in the church now. He's another church, but like for Muslims, like, you know, when something happened, for example, like hurricanes or earthquake, Muslims say, oh, God now destroys the infidel's country. And the question was, does God destroy his creation? And the topic was like, if God created the heaven and earth and created everything, why God allow or God destroy his creation? Sometimes by flood in Noah's day, and sometimes by fire in Sodom and Gomorrah. And answer this question for Muslims. And then this is a big question that Muslims always ask, especially in Deuteronomy 20. Is God a killer? Why God allowed to kill women and children, all of that? This is the topics that we deal with in the program too. It's not only just for Muslim, even Christian. We receive lots of comments from Christian that said, oh, actually we... we didn't see this in a church. For that, we like this topic because we can answer people when ask us this topic. This is run every Monday, 7:30 p.m. Canada time, and go all over the world. And thank God because lots of viewers in Facebook and YouTube, but in the satellite TV. Satellite TV go all over the world. Okay, and there is another one.
Cafe.
Yeah, the cafe. The cafe, yeah. There is a training one and the cafe one. This is a fellowship cafe. Fellowship cafe here, you know, I always, like, you can change the method, but you can, like, the principle is the same. Fellowship cafe is a hook, like a sports game. And fellowship cafe, we started, like, you know, when Syrian refugee came. And, you know, sometimes we complain, oh, refugee came, and what we do, all the ISIS members will come. I agree with you 100%. ISIS member is here in Canada. But what shall we do? If we can't prevent them, then there is another opportunity to preach the gospel to them. Then our program on the list of multicultural center. Multicultural don't promote any Christian program. But they promote that as English education. People come to learn English through conversation. Who leads the conversation? We lead the conversation as a church. The conversation starts with we give dessert and coffee. And then after like 20 minutes, we gather together and have a theme for conversation. And for example, theme, one of the theme, traffic lights. What does traffic lights mean to you here in Canada? You stop when it's red. Why you stop when it's red? Why if you don't stop when it's not red? When it's red? Oh, maybe I can have an accident. Then if you don't follow the law, if you don't follow the instruction, you will be in danger. And then we said, the same way, if you don't follow the word of God, you will be in danger. And then we start to include the message with Christian message, introduce Christ. I will never do social work without bringing Jesus in. When the people come to Fellowship Cafe, we say, we do that. We help you to learn English. We serve you. We help you in all means because we love you, not because we are good and love anybody, but because Jesus loved us and teach us to love you. For that, we have to tell you, who tell us to love you? This is the method of the Fellowship Cafe. And, you know, we do training. We train churches to reach out Muslims. This is how God, even in Egypt or in Canada, for me, the place doesn't matter. The place that God put you in, then he wants to do something for his glory. For that, like, even when we came to Toronto, I was struggling with everybody asking me, like, when you do the course, how much it costs? Like, in Egypt, you know, like, we have the support from the church for that. I never see ministry as a business to see that, but I always tell people, well, whatever God tell you, but there is no cost. We still do the same with this ministry. Like, any church need help, we help. And any church to need to help, we receive help. But again, I'm telling you that because even in Egypt, God used you to plant the seed. And coming here in Canada 10 years ago, starting in Toronto, I can tell you, like, you know, Pastor Hank, and the church, you know, you helped us to come here and stay here and do this ministry. And our ministry is not only here. I am going to Indonesia. Indonesia, 99 point something percent Muslims. And I'm going to train church leaders in Indonesia to reach out to Muslims in Indonesia in October. Right? Keep me in prayer. But in Egypt, all these things in Egypt, we don't like them to die. We like to help Egypt to always going and always going. And one of the methods that we will print is a book. We were hoping to print 1,000 copies, but, you know, everything is just, you know, go up. For that, we are hoping, at least for now, we print 500. And this is the minimum that we can print. And it's need there for that. Pray for that. I'm not good in asking. I'm not fundraiser, but I'm saying pray for that. And I will never see any time we were in want. God always provides. And provide with, a strange way. When I had a problem in my back, there was a Muslim. He sent me $200. It's like, you know, I experienced this a lot. It's we see God provide and fill the need with ways that you never know. For that, one of things is that God put the ministry in your heart. I know lots of things God use you to do. God bless you all, and remember that he is with us and he is in us. Whatever difficulty we go through, like I always see, it's like, you know, if you are a baby and your father carry you in his arms, you will never care about what is in the land, what in the ground, because you are carried. Then he carry us. He is in us. He leads and guides us. Amen. Okay, you're welcome. The training, this is a training. I talk about it, but this is one of the classes that I always do. Thank you very much. Okay. Thanks.
Hallelujah. All right. To Kathy and I, we have, we've been through a lot in Egypt. Egypt is a hard country to travel in, to minister in. It's especially for Canadians. Sometimes I was in the village and I think, how can these people live here all their life like this? But that's where they're born. That's what they're accustomed to. And it's just, Kathy has said many times, when we come back to Canada, we feel like kissing the ground. But it's been a privilege for us to be able to work with people like Thabit and Wafa and Daniel and his wife and Pastor Gaytonette. And to see what God has done and is still doing and how it's still expanding. It never stops. So, you know, we like to have Pastor Thabit come in once a year and just receive an offering to help him along with the ministry. All the seed that we've sown, it is phenomenal, the results that God is bringing through Pastor Thabit and Wafa. And so we want to just bless them with some finances this morning. If 2,000 comes in, then we'll have $1,000. If 1,000 comes in, then whatever we do, we do. And so there's no pressure. If you don't have anything, don't give anything or whatever. So it's just between you and the Lord. But it's, I don't know, it's just so hard to express when I see over the last 10, 15 years all that God has done in missions field and how he's affected nations. And through Thabit, Thabit has a vision to go back into the Middle East. He wants me to go to Lebanon with him and